Three, two, one. Let me make sure I have the date right this time.
Podcast.
Welcome. Welcome, everybody. It is Sunday, August 19th. Not the 18th, but the 19th. The beautiful Cumulus Studios in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Oh, so beautiful.
So beautiful. This is Can I Get a Podcast? My name is Jeffrey Cooperstein, alongside my good friend and co-host, Chris Gross. Chris, how was your week, buddy?
It was good, man. Good to be back here with you. How was your week?
My week was really good, filled with a lot of sports, a lot of Rangers, a lot of Cowboys.
Yes.
Getting ready for college football, man. Less than 2 weeks.
I'm counting down the days.
Me too. Every single day.
The Cowboys preseason game got me fueled up for a little NFL, but we've talked about it before. Nothing gets me going like a little college football.
Nothing. And preseason football is a joke.
Yeah.
And this year, the NFL has a big problem on their hands, man, and that's this new hit rule they have.
Let's talk about that, and actually coming up later in the show, we are reacting to what I consider one of the biggest sports events, one of the biggest sports news stories from the week, and that dives us into our top five sports uniforms of all time. But that's coming up in the next segment. Jeffrey, we got to talk about the new helmet rule in the NFL. And we're going to talk about this. You actually sent me a text earlier in the week saying that you wanted to talk about this.
I wanted to talk about this because I was appalled at what I was seeing on Twitter. There were at least three different instances I saw in preseason games this week where what would be deemed a perfect form tackle in years before was called for roughing the passer on a quarterback. Their shoulders are square with the quarterback. They bring the quarterback down. Their whole weight's not on the QB. Yet they're called for this roughing the passer. And it's really alarming. If you can't hit people like that anymore, how are you supposed to hit somebody?
Yeah, and I think I saw one of the plays you were referring to. And it's, I don't see how it's not a clean tackle. It is a hard tackle, but it's not dirty.
Right, exactly.
That's what happens when, to get to the quarterback, you must be fast. And there's no way you're going to get to the quarterback, slow down, then hit him.
Right. You're going to run at 4-5 speed, full speed to the quarterback, and then all of a sudden you're expected to slow down and not hit him as hard?
I don't understand. And this kind of leads into the other issue I have with that and the new helmet rule, where any kind of leading with your helmet...
It's an ejection.
Yes.
A 15-yarder and an ejection.
And we've seen instances already in the preseason where, I can't remember the game, it was either from Thursday or Friday night, and you had a tackle, you had a defender going for the tackle, and it just so happened that where he lowered his helmet to...
was where the guy lowered his shoulder to.
The wide receiver lowered his to,
yes.
And you made contact, and he gets a penalty. And to me, it's like, what are we doing?
I understand the sentiment. They're trying to promote player safety, trying to decrease injuries, but this is not the way to do it.
No.
They're taking a fundamental part of football out of the game, which is tackling. When people are on Twitter, they're saying, you know, they almost should be playing with flags nowadays. I wouldn't go that far, but it's pretty close, dude.
Yeah.
You can't tackle anyone anymore.
And I'm all for more safety in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Especially with all the studies we've had out now that show that being in the NFL for a significant amount of time leads to brain damage. And whether the NFL wants to recognize that fact or not, there's something going on there.
100%.
And I'm all for any kind of leading with your helmet in a dirty way or aiming for some guy's head, because you can tell when that stuff is intentional.
But, dude, there are some tackles. There's no other way to tackle them.
Yeah.
Than if your helmet goes first.
Yeah.
That's not to make it, and it, that doesn't necessarily make it more violent. That's just the positioning the defender has.
And it's so unfair to not only say to a defender, okay, you must control where your helmet is going, but you have to also be able to know how a wide receiver or running back is going to react and where they're going to put their helmet.
And that's unfair to the defender to assume. You know what I mean?
It makes no sense to me.
These guys have learned this way of tackling since Pop Warner football, since they've been 9 years old, and now all of a sudden they have to completely reform the way they tackle people.
It makes no sense, and it goes to another instance of how the NFL, I think, is in so many ways trying to overcorrect. The NFL is so behind on so many things. And this is just one thing that the NFL does that goes to make you sit, scratch your head and say, look, we love the NFL. The NFL is great, but they do so many things where you're just like, even baseball, who's so archaic, you would say baseball would have probably found a way to figure this out.
Man, I'm really hoping that overcorrection is a preseason issue.
Yeah.
And that the refs are overcalling it in the preseason just to show, hey, this is what, you know, this is what's going to be flagged. This is what isn't going to be flagged. I think they're overflagging in the preseason, hopefully for a reason. And by the time they get to the regular season, it'll ramp down a little bit. It'll be a little more reasonable. That's my hope. Dude, if it stays the same in the regular season, I think the NFL has a serious problem.
It would become very unwatchable.
Absolutely.
This is,
like I said on Twitter, at JCoopJR27, by the way, I'd rather watch the professional bowling on ESPN than watch the NFL if that's the way they're going to be able to tackle.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, no, I was half kidding.
This is Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. So as we just wrap up here quickly, just playing devil's advocate, what do you do to make it better? I'm in agreement with you, but if I was on the other side, I would ask, how do you fix it?
Fix what?
This, I don't want to say like wussification of the NFL, but it's quickly becoming where you can hardly do anything on defense. So my question to you is, how do you fix it?
Dude, yeah, it's becoming an offensive, what's the word? An offensive favored game.
Yeah.
And I think you have to have some rules where the defense has an edge. Whether that's, dude, I really don't know, honestly. The defense has to be able to, the way the defense wins is to tackle people.
Yeah.
And get them on the ground before they cross first down to the touchdown line. Dude, it's a problem. I really don't know, and I think the NFL has a big problem on their hands.
I agree, and I think, too, when you're trying to tell a defense that the ultimate thing you can do is take a ball away, and when one of those things to do is to lay a hard hit on a guy, try to make a play on the ball.
And you can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. And you're just completely, you're completely changing the way the game is played. And dude, something you just said got me thinking, where it's such an offensive favored game. I wonder if that's all for the fantasy world.
Dude,
that we're in
it
now.
Is. It's all for the fantasy, for the gambling, and for the entertainment. Defense isn't entertaining.
Yeah.
Offense is the one that gets people to watch the game.
You don't want to stop down for like a 13-6 game.
Absolutely not.
You'd much rather have like a 31-29
game. Or a 50-45.
Yeah.
Dude, real quick before we go, do you remember that Jadeveon Clowney hit when he was at South Carolina against Michigan?
Oh, yeah. Knocked the guy's helmet off.
That's probably an ejection now. That's one of the best hits
I've ever
seen.
Without a doubt is.
That's probably the best hit I've ever seen.
And it's sad, too, because that's not saying you made a dirty hit. That's saying your hit was too hard. And it's like,
come on, dude.
Just
as Chris Carter would say, come on, man.
Come on, man. Like, you're just supposed to let up. I don't get it.
The game is favored toward offense.
I don't understand. Another thing I don't understand, Jeffrey. Let's talk about this newest sports news this week. A new uniform.
You and I disagree on this than anything we've ever disagreed
yes,
on.
Yes, this might be our most heated discussion here ever on this podcast. Two of the most insufferable teams in the world of sports combined for one hideous uniform.
I don't disagree with you on that.
And we talk about that next on Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Welcome back to Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Chris Gross. The news came out this week that it was on Thursday. Notre Dame has a new uniform they will be wearing as they play their Shamrock Series game in Yankee Stadium. I don't want to get super deep into this, but here's a basic background on it. Notre Dame every year gives up one of their home games to play somewhere in the country at a premier sports venue.
This Even outside year, the country sometimes. They went to Ireland a couple
yes,
years ago.
And this year they ended up at Yankee Stadium. And they always go with weird uniforms. Like one year they went like bright gold helmets. They always kind of trick it up. Well, this year they decided they were going to go with Yankees style uniforms. So just to kind of explain it, you had like a dark blue or a black jersey.
Dark blue. That's Notre Dame dark blue.
Okay, with pinstripe sleeves, pinstripe pants, mocking the the Yankees uniform. And then on the helmet, you had the dark blue helmet with the Notre Dame logo in a circle with pinstripes behind it.
Right.
So pinstripes not all the way across the helmet, just in the circle Correct. Around the logo. And it was just so weird. I can't remember anything like this. The one thing that actually came to my mind last night, think back to last year when the annual Arkansas A&M game being played at Cowboys Stadium.
And Arkansas wore the Dallas Cowboys uniforms.
Yes, but theirs, basically what they did, they copied the Cowboys uniform.
But they were red.
They were red, and they replaced the Cowboys logo with the Arkansas logo.
And it looked good.
Those did. I like those a lot. But that was the only thing I could ever remember when you take like two sports franchises and combine them to one uniform. Now, to me, this is hideous. And you like them.
Dude, I like them. And here's the reason. These are the two most recognizable brands in their respective sport. Notre Dame. Well, I guess Notre Dame hasn't been very good lately. But overall, when you think college football, Notre Dame's at the top. You Dude. Know what the green and gold is. You know Touchdown Jesus. Dude, you know Rudy. Notre Dame's the most iconic brand in college football, and the Yankees are the most iconic brand in baseball, obviously.
I agree with you on Yankees. I think Notre Dame's like top three at least. I'd say you probably throw Texas and Michigan in there.
You think Michigan? I do think Texas, all bias aside. I think they're one of they're recognizable simply because of the burnt orange and the Longhorn.
I think those are your top three recognizable college football programs.
And that's why I think it's a cool uniform. Because these are two huge brands in sports fusing in to one uniform for one game at Yankee Stadium. And I think that's cool. And I think it'll look good when they come out on the field.
I think it's terrible. One, because you're combining two programs that everyone hates.
Everyone does hate them.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
Anything Yankees involved, I'm pretty much already out.
Dude, like, but the no Yankees are what. Actually kind of fun this year. I don't hate the Yankees this year.
Yankees are fun, but they're like fun to hate.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's a rare instance where I'm rooting for the Yankees. And so you have that.
Unless they're playing the Astros.
I don't know. Maybe that's a conversation for a different time. I am not a Yankees fan at all. But anyway, the other thing that I love about this too, just real quick, this is for the Shamrock Series game at Yankee Stadium where they're playing Syracuse. That is so
lame.
Okay,
I didn't know that they were playing Syracuse.
Yes.
That's bad.
If you had a better opponent, I think this is more interesting.
And for a little background, Notre Dame does play 5 ACC games a year with their affiliation with the ACC. All their other sports are full ACC members, and the football team's an honorary member.
They're independent.
Yes.
Like, basically an extra Power 5 team, not in a conference.
Dude, I did
much.
Not know they were playing Syracuse.
They are playing Syracuse.
Man, that's so, Dude, you know what they should have? They should have played like another independent. They should have played Navy or Army. And in New York, that would bring huge crowds because those teams are on the East Coast.
Yeah, I think that would have been really cool. I don't know, man. I am not a fan of these. I think they're ugly. I think it's trying way too hard. The pinstripe sleeves look really, really awkward. And here's the thing, too, that's going to look bad. Lots of guys go really small sleeves. When you have like a couple inches of those pinstripes,
yeah, you
sleeves,
might not see the full pinstripes.
It's gonna look disgusting.
Yeah, man. I think we just have to wait until they walk on the field and we actually see what they look like. Obviously,
that is fair. Once you get them into action, it definitely will give us a different perspective. But that got us to talking about what are our favorite uniforms in sports. So, Jeffrey, I've got my top five.
I also have my top five.
Let's do our top five, and let's just give a quick little, 15, 20-second explanation. We'll start with you at five, and we'll just go bounce back and forth.
My number five is the Montreal Canadiens home uniform in the NHL. It is red. It has a almost royal blue look, and, dude, it's the most classic uniform in the NHL, bar none. The Montreal Canadiens are also the most most storied hockey team of all time. Their uniform's super cool. They have an ode to the French-Canadian heritage where it has a big C on the front, and in the middle of the C, it has an H, which stands for habitants, and that is French for habitants, French-Canadians. So that's a really cool uniform. I don't know if you've seen it yet since you have something against hockey for whatever reason, but that's a really cool uniform.
Yeah, I've never seen a hockey uniform. I don't know what any hockey uniforms look like. I'm just kidding. My number five, I go with the Rams' current uniforms.
Ooh.
And I like, there's something about being so minimalist, where their colors are basically blue and white. And at first it seems like it's super plain, but it looks so good. I love the helmet. It's a blue helmet with the white ram horns. I don't know, man. It's so simple. But it's so, I guess you're just going for the pure clean look. You're not trying to be fancy. You're not trying to outdo anybody with crazy colors, any crazy designs, or a crazy logo. You're like, we want blue, we want white, and we want these horns on the helmet. And so that's why I go with the Rams for my number five uniform. I'm going to bounce to my number four, and I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers. We have
an overlap.
It's classic.
Absolutely. There
is something about a uniform that registers with a team's success. And like when you keep your uniforms for a long time, the purple and gold of the Lakers is just so historic. When you think about that, you think about greats like Magic Johnson, throw Kobe Bryant in there. It's just there's something that hovers that uniform above all the others in the NBA to me.
100%. They're on my list later. We'll get to them later. Dude, my number four is the New York Yankees. We were just talking about them. I hate myself for that because they're the Yankees.
Yeah.
But I think the pinstripes, dude, they've had the pinstripes for over 100 years. Super classic uniform, navy blue. Love the color. Love what the Yankees, the uniform represents, dude. It represents we're gonna come out there and we're going to beat you.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool.
And who's your number three?
My number three is the North Carolina Tar Heels baby blue basketball uniforms, dude. Those are so sick. Powder blue is like the coolest color. And when North Carolina runs out there in that powder blue, you know who that is. You're not mistaking North Carolina for anyone. And I wish they would wear them at home sometimes. I think that'd be really sick.
I am a huge fan of the powder blues, and we'll get to that later on down my list as we get closer to the top. My number three, I'm going to throw it back a little bit. I'm going to go back in time to the Astros Tequila Sunrise uniforms. Now, those are the ones where you have, I'm trying to describe it, it's like orange and yellow, the stripes that go up from the waist. It basically looks like it's a orange and yellow sunrise as it's coming up the jersey. It's just so unique. It's got a kind of a weird look, where it's something you would think would be more futuristic than what you had for its time. But it's something that is, when you copy it, and even when you change the colors, it looks good, like other teams have done. I think the Astros Tequila Sunrise jerseys, to me, are your top baseball uniform that we've seen. Just from pure creativity and, man, it looks good.
Those are really cool. And when you think those uniforms, I think Nolan Ryan, at least. I don't know about you.
Yes. And that's the other thing, too. Definitely attaching success to a uniform raises it a couple levels in my book. So we'll go from my number three to my number two, and I know you're going to be a fan of this one. I have always, always loved Florida's football uniforms.
They're really good, dude. They're cool.
My favorite color combination of all time is blue and orange. I don't know why. I think it looks so good. And they out of any team I can think of, does blue and orange better than anybody.
They have a couple combinations too. The blue with the orange pants.
Yes.
My dad, who's the University of Florida grad and why I have an interest in them, hates the blue and orange pants look.
He does.
Yeah, dude. He's a blue and white guy and a white and blue on the road. I think he's okay with the white and white on the road, but no blue pants, no orange pants on the road. You know, he's a simpleton.
And I get that, because when you think of, you know, you don't want to go super crazy, go crazy with your look. But to me, orange and blue is perfect. And that is, I don't know, man. I've just always loved watching Florida play.
No, man.
To watch the uniforms.
I really like those uniforms. And in the last few years, they've implemented a white helmet, alternate helmet that they have. And it looks really good on some of the combinations they have. So Florida, that's a really good one for you. My number two is our overlap, the Los Angeles Lakers. Specifically, the Laker whites that they would wear in the 2000s. They had a special uniform they'd wear every Sunday, and they were white. And as we know, the Lakers wear gold at home. And so this was their alternate. They'd wear white at home on Sundays. And, dude, they just dominated in the whites. They'd wear those in the finals. And it was the coolest thing ever because it's like, whoa, even the Lakers are going away from their purple and gold.
Yeah.
Those Laker whites, and that's what I remember Kobe in the most, and Lamar Odom, you know, former Maverick great Lamar
Odom. Of course,
Odom.
Of course.
So yeah, the Laker whites are my number two. My number one, this is obviously a super bias, is the Texas Icy Whites, the Stormtroopers, the Texas Road uniform, white helmet, white jersey, white pants, white socks, white shoes, and you're going to get your ass kicked whenever Texas is wearing them. I don't care if it's the decade where they're 500. When Texas is wearing the whites, I never don't feel confident they're going to win a game.
I have always had a very strong bias against white uniforms. I pretty much
Why?
Always hate whites unless you are going full white, like Stormtrooper look. Like, I don't like white jersey with a colored pants.
So you don't like the Cowboys uniforms?
I love the Cowboys blue uniforms.
Okay.
I like those so much better. And I give the Cowboys a little bit of a difference just because it's... I was thinking about it yesterday. They're called silver pants. But they're not really
Dude,
silver.
They're Statue of Liberty.
They're like silverish teal.
Google a picture of the Statue of Liberty, then Google a picture of those pants,
yes.
And they're the same.
And so that's why I give them a little bit of credit for that, because you got the creativity with the pants. But I do like the Cowboys blue much better than the white. So I'm going to go to my number one. Let's stay with the NFL. To me, go with the powder blues. Dude, I loved the Houston Oilers uniforms.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Chargers.
Those are pretty good.
Dude, the Chargers are my favorite NFL uniform ever.
The Oilers, the powder blue, and dude, the logo was awesome. The Oilers logo was so cool. I loved those uniforms. I wish I could have seen them play. And the fact that you don't have a team who pays tribute to those uniforms at all.
Well, the Titans do every now and then, do they not?
I don't think they do.
Dude, this is funny because I was playing Madden 19 the other day, and I was actually playing the Titans with the Cowboys, and I had the Titans wear those powder blues with the white helmet.
They're pretty sweet.
They're sick. That's a good one.
You know what? I'd have to look into that because I remember there being something weird where the Titans refuse to wear them, but they won't let the Texans do it either.
Really?
It's something really weird to where I don't think they wear those a
I don't
lot.
Think the Texans should be allowed to do that. And this is going to... Can I go on a tangent really
sure.
fast?
Yes.
The Texans should not be allowed to wear the Houston Oilers uniforms. The Minnesota Wild should not be allowed to wear the Minnesota North Stars uniforms because those are the Dallas Stars. Dude, that just really annoys me.
I think...
And here's one more.
Yeah.
The Charlotte Hornets are not the Charlotte Hornets, even though they assumed all their team records and all that. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
That is super weird, and maybe that's a conversation for another podcast about that, but here's what I think. I think if you have team history and a jersey, you give it to the franchise that it was previously
right.
as,
yes.
and if they don't want to do it, give it to another team. Give it to the other team.
No.
Yes, because no. I want to see the jerseys.
Did Warren Moon play for the Houston Texans, or did he play for the Houston Oilers?
He played for the Oilers.
Okay, and
he played in Houston.
And where did the Oilers move to? They moved to Tennessee, Chris Gross.
Yes, I know. They're currently
Therefore,
the Titans.
The Texans and the Oilers have zero affiliation except for the fact that they're both in Houston.
Okay, but if the Titans don't wear them, you think that uniform should just be locked away forever?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to look this up because now I want to know if they're going to wear the powder blue uniforms. Like, if the Titans ever wear those. I want to say they don't. Maybe, you know what? I don't have enough time to look. We'll update you on another podcast. I'm going to have to do some research into that.
Or on Twitter. Throw out your Twitter handle for the peoples.
At Chris's Gross, KRISISGROSS. Let me know if you know the history of the current Oilers throwback uniforms. But that was our conversation. Jeffrey, we'll run through our top five here real quick. I'll count you down from 5 to 1. I have the current Rams. Then we go Lakers at 4, Astros Tequila Sunrise uniforms at 3, Florida football, the blue and orange at number 2, and the Houston Oilers uniforms at number 1.
All right, let's see if I can get this on the fly here.
Okay.
I had the Montreal Canadiens at 5. I had the New York Yankees at 4. I had the Carolina Tar Heels at 3. I had the Lakers at 2 and the Longhorns rounding out my top 5.
I'm shocked that you had the
Me
Texas
too, man.
At 1.
When you said that, I was thinking, oh crap, I hope I have it in time.
That was pretty impressive.
That was cool.
But Jeffrey, we're going to close things out like we always do here on the podcast. It's called the 24-second shot clock. Here's how it works. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be sports related. But when that 24 seconds is up and you hear that buzzer go off, your time is done. Jeffrey, I usually throw it to you here first, but I'm pretty heated.
It's your time.
So I'm going to go here. Why do Cowboys fans love Rico Gathers? I do not understand. I see so much love for Rico Gathers on Twitter. I don't get it. The dude cannot block. He is a freak. But there is clearly something behind the scenes going on. That guy has been on this team. This is his third year. He can't break the practice squad. There is something and I'm out of time.
Man, but dude, no, I'm so with you. Rico Gathers, I'm coughing. I have a cough today. Rico Gathers is a freak. He can go get a football, but dude, he doesn't run routes. He can't run block. He can't pass block. He's not an NFL football player, but Cowboys people see that catch, and it was a really good catch that he made in that preseason game.
Basically like going up for a rebound using his basketball instincts.
They see this catch and they're like, oh, the Cowboys can't use a playmaking tight end like this. What are Jerry Jones? What's Steven Jones? What's Jason Garrett doing out there? Dude, the one thing Jason Garrett and Steven Jones I think have a pretty good grasp on is personnel.
And yeah.
Rico Gathers can't play football.
And it's not hard to... Dude,
I'm with
I
you.
Just don't
I'm
get
with
it.
You.
I'm
with you.
I don't get it. So there's mine. Jeffrey, your 24 seconds begin now.
My 24 seconds is going to go to something Chris told me I could never talk about on this show. That's hockey. Dude, the Stars are going to have a good season this year. They had an epic collapse last year of biblical proportions, literally the biggest collapse in NHL history, after having 80 points after 66 games and missing the playoffs. They have the same team this year, except they brought back a couple players. And they added a few. The Stars are going to be fun this year. I love hockey, and you don't because you're weird.
I fell asleep. I don't know what you said during that last segment. How big was their collapse?
I'm not kidding. The biggest collapse in NHL history.
Really?
No team has ever missed the playoffs after having 80 points through 66 games, and the Stars were the first team in NHL history to do that.
Dude, that's really sad.
It's really bad. And the NHL playoff format's really strange. I really can't get into that right now. That's like a 5-minute segment.
Oh my gosh.
But
that's like 6 minutes too much of hockey talk.
But it's a lot. But the Stars are gonna be fun this year. If you want to come out to a game at the AAC with me, more than glad.
Oh my gosh.
Can I take you to a game this year?
No.
Please?
No.
You said you would.
Are you buying?
Yes.
You know what? You get me in.
Yes.
And you buy me a bucket of nachos.
Okay.
I will go to a game.
Okay.
I can't promise you I will
you
stay
You heard that,
awake.
Ashley Gross?
She heard. She listens.
Okay.
I guess I'm into it now.
Yep.
I guess I got to do it. But, Jeffrey, let's close it up before we get into any more hockey talk here. Why don't you throw your Twitter handle out there for the people?
My Twitter is at jcoop, JR27. That's on Twitter. That's Snapchat. That's Instagram. Wherever you can find whatever you have.
And your burner account?
Non-existent.
I guess, I still haven't found your burner account.
That's okay.
I keep saying I need to go look, and it's been like 10 weeks, and I've never...
You're not going to find it. That's fine.
I will try.
Okay.
I'm going to find it.
All right.
No burner account for your boy. I am at Chris's Gross, KRISISGROSS. As always, there's plenty of ways to listen to this podcast. If you want to stream, head on over to KESN1033.com. Click on the featured audio tab and you click on Can I Get a Podcast? Boom, there's our archive of topics right there. You can go back and listen to What Would Happen If We Murdered Champions right after they won
the greatest segment we've ever done.
Dude, it was really good.
Got some really good feedback.
Our favorite college football players of all time. There's
our
lots
favorite
of really
uniforms
good,
of all time?
Yes, there's so much good stuff there in that archive. Also, I recommend you subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts. All you have to do is search Can I Get a Podcast, and it'll be right there. Every time we upload a new episode, it'll be right there in your feed. Please leave a 5-star rating. We only have one, and it's from my mom.
We have one, too, because I rated ourselves 5 stars.
Then we have two, and it's from my mom and from my co-host, and that's kind of sad. So we need to up that game there. The easiest way to get our 5-star rating up, Jeffrey, who do you need to tell?
Your friends, your wives, your cousins, your uncles, and your ex-wives.
Most importantly, tell your ex-wives.
That's the one you need to tell.
Yes. We will be back next week for another edition of Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Sayonara.
Okay, thanks.